this song.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we'd like to thank you for tuning in and listening to the program. We also want to say thank you to those of you who've listened and have visited Merritt Assembly of God. We count that a great privilege and honor to be able to worship with you. And we really are excited about all that God is doing. It's we believe that what has been taking place thus far this year is for us to be able to focus on some things that we normally haven't been able to focus on, so that we could be positioned to do ministry like we've never been able to do before. That's what we are believing God for. And so I don't know exactly how everything is all going to look when it's all said and done. That's God's job. My job is to hear and to obey. And so that's what we are looking forward to. I want to say thank you right now to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. As I have told other people in other industries, they do their part to keep Brevard County beautiful. And the thing about it is, you don't necessarily see everything that they do. Their work is foundational. They do concrete work, they do block work, and so you've got to have a good solid foundation. Your foundation's got to be square, it's got to be the proper thickness, it's got to be the proper strength, it's got to be in the proper place. I don't know if you ever see property disputes where someone has built a building and it's actually got part of that building on the other person's property, and that doesn't necessarily go too well. Well, you want to make sure that the people that you have that come out and do your block work or your concrete work, if you need block work done, that's the foundation for the finish that you are going to have, whether it's going to be stucco or whether you're going to have some of that new high-tech siding that is put on there that gives it a little bit different look than what everything else is here in Florida. So Jits Concrete, they've got decades of experience in this. They have experience doing commercial projects. I know that for a fact. I also know they have experience doing residential projects, and they have not only done that, but they have done municipal projects. There are cities that have brought them in to do the sidewalks in their community. The folks of Jits Concrete, they have decades and decades of experience. None of the people that I mention here are fly-by-night companies. They have been around for a substantial period of time, and they not only have experience, they've got good experience. And I encourage you to give them a call. Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. If you ask them about some of the projects that they've worked on, they might even be willing to share that information with you. I know some of them. They've done work on our church, and that's the only one I'm going to tell you about, because I don't want to violate any trust that they have on those other projects. 321-536-5804. You can hear this on the end of the program. You might not hear me mention it, but we are on two radio stations. We're on WMIE, and we are also on their sister station, WWBC, 1510 AM. So on the FM dial, we meet here 8:30 of a morning till 9 o'clock, and then of an evening, we are here at 5 o'clock to 5:30. And so you have the ability to catch us right here on WMIE or some of the other frequencies throughout the county. There is also a 10:30 a.m. rebroadcast that is on WWBC 1510 a.m. and that has some different signals depending on what part of the county you are in. So we encourage you to take a listen. If you like something that you heard, maybe you're listening to the 5 o'clock broadcast and you hear something and say, did I hear that right? Well, I want you to know you can go to the WMIEFM.com website, scroll down to the bottom of the page, because I believe it's after the 8:30 broadcast, it gets posted onto the website for that day. So if you're unable to hear at 5 o'clock, you can go and to the website and download or listen right then to the program. Another way that you can listen is through the TuneIn app, the WMIE station that's on there. There's a few second delay on that simply because of all of the various systems that it's got to go to get up to the internet broadcast. But we got lots of opportunities. And if you miss all of those, you could always check us out in person, 165 North Grove Street. We still have seats available. A number of our folks from the coronavirus, they have become content watching on Facebook as a precautionary measure while the coronavirus situation plays out. But we still have seating capacity available. So we have room, we have social distancing in our sanctuary for about 28 or 29, I forget, different family units, depending on the family unit size. If there's small family units, we can move some chairs around. We can increase that capacity just a little bit. If you have one, if you have eight, nine, we can get you all seated together. I'm threatening to go to a second service just to make sure that everybody has room as they need it. We got some exciting things that are coming up in the month of September, and we're looking forward to unveiling those. Right now we are talking about the battle that Jehoshaphat faced. He had an enemy that was made up of the people of Moab and the people of Ammon, and there were others on top of that, and they decided that they were going to attack one of God's best kings in Judah. They thought that that was a good idea. I want you to know the devil thought it was a good idea to attack Jesus. After the resurrection, he didn't think it was a good idea. He found it to be a regrettable idea. And I pray that God does a work in you and I to such an extent that whenever he attacks you, whenever the devil attacks you or attacks me, that it drives us into the presence of God even more than we've been before, and we come out on the other side more excited about serving Jesus, with a greater testimony, with a greater anointing, a greater power, and that the devil regrets that he ever attacked you, because you are being used more mightily by God than you've ever been used before. That's the way that I like to pray about demonic attacks in our life. So we were talking at 2 Chronicles last week about this, and whenever in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the principle that we're dealing with is the battle is the Lord's. It belongs to him. Okay, so that doesn't mean that we are telling God how to fight his battle. We are listening for him to tell us how to fight his battle. It's his battle because we're his covenant people. We walk with him. We walk with him in the good times. We walk with him in the bad times. We walk with him morning, noon, and night. We're not just here whenever it's convenient. We are in it for the long haul. Okay? And so there are many blessings there. The battle belongs to the Lord. And the first thing that we shared, and we spent some number of broadcasts on this, is a battle involves enemies. Okay. Now I will tell you this, if you are in a situation and you are able to diffuse the situation, the Bible says a gentle answer turns away wrath. A gentle answer turns away wrath. That doesn't mean that you adopt the position of a doormat. What it does mean is you are not there to elevate the situation or escalate the tensions. You are there to listen to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will give you words that is going to take an enraged person or a troubled person, and you're going to get them to calm down. It is impossible to have a war without two willing participants. Okay? That doesn't mean that you're always going to be able to do that, but if you can de-escalate a situation, I was talking with a person one time, and there was a situation that involved them. It really didn't involve, me. A third person tried to get me involved, and I said, look, I know this person, and I know their training, and I know that they have been equipped in how to de-escalate a situation. And so that was what I encouraged them to do. And when it was all said and done, I talked to the other, to the person that, you know, this one individual had a problem with. And, I had explained the situation, to the party that was agitated, and, you know, everything was calmed down. And the person that had inadvertently agitated this other person said, you also need to understand this. Because of my training, I know how to escalate and resolve a situation as well. And I was like, well, you know, I didn't think about that. I just know that, you know, he had a capability of de-escalating this. You do too. You do too. You got to realize that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. Okay. So people aren't the problem. Spiritual forces are the problem. People are the prize. People are the prize. And so if you are in a situation where your spouse is had a bad day and they've come home and the situation is getting kind of escalated, try a gentle answer. Recognize that they may have had something that has gone on. I was in a situation one time, and there was an individual that was venting. They were using me as their personal vent device. Every time they were around me, they just wanted to vent. And I was discussing that situation with an individual, and they said this: the reason that they do that is because they feel safe with you. Now, if you're a venter, if you're a person that takes what's happened today and you bring it to your house and you just go ballistic on your family, I want to encourage you to learn another technique. Okay? It's okay that everybody vents from time to time, but if that's your normal everyday routine, ask God to help you handle the stress in a different manner, because you don't need to be venting about other situations all over the people who love you the most. Okay? And so this person said, they know that you are a safe place, that no matter what happens, you're still going to love them. you're still going to be there for them. And so if you find yourself in a time of spiritual conflict, realize that there's an enemy there. And we talked about those enemies last week. It has to do with mindset. It has all sorts of things. It's a misplaced hostility. It's supposed to be hostility against the devil instead of hostility against God. It can have to do with mindset. It can have to do with misplaced priorities, where people are enamored with the world instead of enamored with God. But the good news is Jesus came to take away all of those hostilities. Let me just run through a few other thoughts here look at this. A spiritual battle also involves strategy. A lot of times people read biblical narratives and they think that the way that it is done in that particular Bible event, that that's the way it's going to be all of the time. And I want you to know that that is not necessary. There can be a principle there, but it may not be, okay, if you find yourself in position A, do position B, and you will get result C. That may not. See, the important thing is not the strategy. The important thing is hearing what God's strategy is. To demonstrate that point, there was a time when David was battling the Philistines. I believe this was after he became king, and he does this amazing thing when he's getting ready to go to battle with the Philistines. He prays, and he asks God, "God, what do you want me to do?" And he says, "Circle around back and set up an ambush. Come at them from this direction." And then immediately after that, there's the story of David waging battle against the Philistines again, and God doesn't give him the same strategy. He says, "What I want you to do is I want you to wait until you hear a specific sound breaking forth in the trees, and when that sound breaks when that sound happens in the trees, understand that I've broken forth against your enemies, and it is time to move forward." So the fact that the battle is the Lord's doesn't mean that he's always going to do all of the work, and it doesn't mean that necessarily we're going to be doing the same thing all the time. Sometimes God says, "Step back, watch me, I'm going to take care of it, and it is going to be more decisive with my actions than it could have ever been with yours." I believe it was when Joshua prayed for the sun to stand still that they waged war, or they were successful against the enemy that they were facing. But it says this, "And God wiped out more enemies with the hailstones that fell from heaven than Joshua and his people did during the battle." Understand, when God is involved in the process, there is going to be a strategy that is involved, and we need to pay attention to that strategy. I think of Naaman. Naaman was a leper. You know how many people had been healed of leprosy when Naaman came down with leprosy? Zero. But yet there was a little girl who was carried off as a prisoner of war from one of Naaman's military campaigns, and she was from Israel, and she, you know, her mom and dad had probably been killed in the battle, but whatever it is, I know she wasn't where she wanted to be, and she found herself in a hostile country, and she said, "Oh, that my master was in Israel. I know God could take care of your leprosy." I've got to tell you, that little girl is one of my favorite individuals in all of Scripture because of what she didn't allow to stop her from sharing Jesus, even with people who had been quite vicious to her. I don't know what all's gone on with you, but I do know how good God has been to you and to me. And so let's don't allow our circumstances to deprive someone of their miracle. Well, Naaman goes to his king and says, hey, this is what this little girl told me. And his king writes a king to the king of Israel and says, I'm sending you Naaman, my servant, so that you can heal him of his leprosy. Well, the problem was that the king in Israel at that time didn't believe much in Jehovah God. He was more into Baal worship than he was into worshiping Jehovah or Yahweh. And Elisha says, look, don't fret yourself. The king said, look, this guy's trying to pick a fight with me. And Elisha says, don't worry. You just send him to me. And so the guy goes to the king. The king sends him to Elisha. And Elisha says, go down to the Jordan River and dip yourself seven times. And Naaman was like, that river is disgusting. We've got all sorts of rivers in my country that are better than that river. And he goes off in a huff because he doesn't like the strategy that has been given to him by the prophet of God. Okay. And his servants go to him and said, excuse me, if the prophet had told you to do something great in order for you to be healed, wouldn't you have done it? And the truth of the matter is, he would have. But because this seemed ridiculous, because God's strategy seemed ridiculous, he almost missed his miracle, not because of God, but because of pride and because he didn't like God's strategy. Okay? A lot of pastors go off to church growth conferences. Let me tell you a little bit about what happens in church growth conferences. Now, I'm not here to bash church growth conferences. There are a lot of churches that have started after I came to church. They are bigger and doing great things. Congratulations. But here's the thing. I carry around in my pocket a key ring. At one point in time, my key ring had shrunk considerably. At one point in time, it had shrunk down to less than 10 keys, I believe it was. That was back in the days when keys didn't have fobs on them, and I, you know, you just unlocked the door the old-fashioned way with a key. Now I've got a monster fob that's got a key that hides in it. I've got another fob that's pretty good size, and all they do is take up a lot of space in my pocket. But here's the thing about church growth. If you go to church growth conference, or if you go to a business growth conference, or and a person says, this is what I did, and if you go back to your church and you do the same thing, if you utilize this key, it will unlock your church to growth because it unlocked the church that I pastor in order to grow. Well, you go back and you try that, and you try to put that key in the door, and you try and turn it, and you find that it doesn't fit. Sometimes, because of the construction of the door, you might not even be able to get it to insert even a little bit. It is a completely different key from the type of lock that you have on your door. You see, what happened is, that guy that was speaking at that conference heard from God what was the key to his church. And it grew because God built his church. But just like I have, let me just count quickly here, if you don't mind. There's 2, 3, 6, 9, 10, 11. I have 14 different keys. Each one of the, well, there's one duplicate on there. There are 13 different locks that I have to access from time to time, and I've got a key for each one of those locks. Well, guess what? God has a key for Merit Assembly of God. For us, a really instrumental key for us was saying yes to missions. And so I tell people, look, your church can't afford not to participate in missions, because missions is about the redemption business. And I believe that God wants us involved in the redemption business. But it might not cause your church to grow the same way that our church grew as a result of that. You've got to hear from God. God has a strategy. He's got a strategy for you as an individual. He's got a strategy for you as a family. He's got a strategy for your business. Here's the thing that really a lot of people struggle with, and that is this. If you try to implement everybody else's strategy, you're just going to become just like everybody else, and you will not stand out as victoriously as God wanted you to. I used to be in retail, and I scratched my head because I would be in malls and new stores would come in and they would be selling exactly the same merchandise as people in the stores that were already there. And it's like, how do you suppose that's going to work? Because the price points were all set by the vendors. I said, what you need to do is you've got to find out what you do better than anybody else. Do it with anointing, do it with passion, do it to be a blessing, and you will find that God has a strategy. He's got a military strategy. He's the captain of the army of the Lord of hosts. God's plans will not be thwarted. You and I, we need to be people of prayer. If you're in a spiritual warfare, you need to be praying and not only asking God to give the victory. God, what's the process? What's your strategy? What do you want us to do? Because we've got to hear from heaven. And I will tell you this, God's way is the best way. God's way is the best way. And so I encourage you today, find out what his strategy is and say, yes, Lord, to his plan. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio
Thank you
program.
For tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Or sailed across oceans so deep.